November 22, 2016. It's the Watts Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro Show. I am Pedro, but not with Brother Matt. He had to go to the dock, and I ain't in my pad either. Where I am is at Brack's pad, and my guest, Jim Brown, made the hell ride from Pedro. Where from?
Echo Park.
Echo Park. So not too bad.
No, straight shot.
Yeah, straight shot down the Harbor Freeway. We start off the show with I'll Wait and Pray, the alternate tape by John Coltrane, heavyweight champ. And then we heard Jim Brown doing Piano Deconstruction, Rafael Ortiz.
Yeah.
Original composition. This was an edit from a live in Vienna version, July 8, 2016, just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And, what was that like?
Oh, that was good time.
When did I see it? In May?
May. You saw it at the, May. At
here in West L.A.
Blum and Poe Gallery.
Or maybe Venice.
It's like Culver City.
Same shit.
Not really.
I think it was right off La Cienega.
That's it, yeah.
And I came right from Prague, like I just got done from Prague here. That's when I get to see you, is after Prague. When I see Jim Brown, that I got Prague in my thing. And I made it right when you went on. And then you informed me that when you came off and she finished the piece, I was the first guy.
Yeah.
Right?
That was beautiful.
And you said, I was supposed to hand you the axe.
Yeah.
But I would have got there on time. And I tried. But this was like later in the afternoon, people in our traffic. But anyway, I got to witness it.
Yeah, that was
I just didn't get to hand the axe.
That was my conceptual, and for me, it was conceptual to have you hand me the axe.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So that would have meant something to me. I don't know what it would have meant to anybody else, but it was like, but for you just
it would have meant a lot to me.
Okay, well, personally. It was a big deal that you showed up, so I was very happy to, like, come straight out, and you're the first person I see standing there. It touched
me. And that room was packed.
Yeah, it was a good turnout.
And dudes were getting hit with pieces. Because people, the stuff was flying. But let's go back in time. Let's go back to your first music memory.
Yeah, first music memory. I guess there's just some fodder there around, like, listening to some kind of, like, nursery rhymes or something that my parents used to play.
So in the pad.
Yeah, back in Phoenix. In, like, these little townhouses off of, like, 44th and Thomas. And then, but the first, like...
So the nursery rhymes, if they're off tape or...
Like little, like 7 inches, I think.
7 inches.
Like little old school, like record phonograph thing.
Yeah.
And then the first thing I remember is I was at some like record flea market thing that the grade school that I was at. And I wanted to buy something. I didn't know there was a difference between, like, to me, like, the word jazz sounded to me like it should implement, like, an energy, like, rock. But, like, what I really wanted to listen to was rock music. But I said, I want to get a jazz record. Because that just sounded like
you're
a cooler.
You're in grade school, so you,
yeah, I didn't know.
How old?
I was 6, 7.
Yeah, okay. Really little.
8, you know, something like that.
And what, like swap meet?
Yeah, like, exactly. And,
this is where people bring their own stuff to sell.
Yeah. Aisles of, like, right. Shit, you know?
Parking lot of a...
Exactly. It was inside the cafeteria.
Oh, wow.
But I ended up, just being like, you know, you didn't have any information to go
sure.
on back then. I didn't have an older brother or sister either, so I just went off of visual shit.
And your parents don't play?
No, my dad plays guitar for, enjoyment. My mother played piano for enjoyment.
So was there a piano and a guitar in
there? There was, but they didn't, like, rock it, like, that much, really.
But was it there for you?
They would, yeah. It was there. Well, the biggest influence was Brian. He started playing drums when he was six. You know, so I was just like...
So how'd he get that drum set?
He was hitting shit ever since he was, like, born. And my parents, it was driving my parents crazy, and they're like, we gotta channel this somehow. So they suggested they put him into, try to get drum classes for him. The teacher, this guy Jim Zupancic, was like, I've never taught anybody this young before, I don't even know if it's even possible. But he put him on a kit and took right to it. And the guy would have a drum seminar, so then Brian would get total, like, schooled by, like, dudes like Louis Belson, Steve Smith, a fusion drummer that then played with Journey and shit.
Sure.
So he was getting, you know, his teeth cut by the huge cast because, you know, it was like a novelty. This little kid is ripping out
Prodigy Rock
paradiddles and stuff, you know. He's doing his... And
back to SWAT.
Yeah.
What record did you end up getting?
I ended up pulling out this record that had like a cowboy like shoot that had like shot some guy. That's what blood kind of said. It said blood on the saddle. I was like, that looks tough. You know, I was like, got it.
But you wanted jazz.
I want jazz. It was like a, but it's just like the visual.
The cover.
Yeah, it's just like, this one looks cool. I don't know what the fuck any of this other shit is. I have no idea.
So when you went home and played it?
I played it on the wrong speed to start out with. So the first thing I heard was, there is blood. And it was just like,
dragon.
Yeah, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? It was just like, kind of twisted my mind. And then I flipped this.
Did you know who the band was?
No, I don't even, like, I wish I could remember it. I think it was just, I think it might have been, like, a big single. There's Blood on the Saddle. Blood on the Saddle. Anyways, that's the shit I was attracted to, I guess. You know, growing up in the desert, saddle shit. My dad's raised on a ranch, you know, and then blood, you know. I guess I was already going that direction.
Okay. What about at school? Was there music in school?
I didn't, like, it was just, like... Yeah, I mean, we took music classes.
What'd you play?
I started playing trumpet when I was in fourth grade.
Were you in the marching band?
No, I couldn't. I didn't dig the uniform thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to, like, take this advanced jazz class when I got into high school, but the dude's like, you have to be in the marching band for that. And I was like, no, that's fucked up. I don't want to do that. I couldn't hang.
And what about your brother? Was he in the school band?
Yeah.
Since he's whooping on the
shit? Brian did the whole deal all the way down the line. He got.
Was he in the marching band?
Yeah, he did it. Right. He said that.
But did he do toms or snare or field drum? Or?
I don't even remember. Okay. It was some drum thing.
He had a uniform on, though.
The thing was,
what was the name of the team?
Camelback Spartans.
Oh, but Alice Cooper.
Camelback, yeah, he did, I think.
Because there's the Camelback guy, that Alice Cooper song.
He went to Arcadia.
But they have a song where he goes...
There you go. I mean,
so
I
maybe
knew,
he's dreaming of another school?
No, I don't know. I mean, there was a chick that I knew that lived, her name was Janina or something like that. She lived next door to Alice Cooper's house. So we got the high school we were supposed to go to shut down, East High. And then, so we ended up getting bussed up to a little bit, like, higher class, like, kids.
Because that's Scottsdale?
It's, we're in Phoenix still, proper.
No, but that high school.
The, Arcadia or Camelback? Camelback's, like, more north.
Tell me.
Camelback's more...
I know Scottsdale's a little more chinquando.
Yeah, it is, but Camelback was closer to, like, the Biltmore. So that some of those kids, they were coming from, like, more money side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we were just straight-up middle-class kids,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
But since school closed, you had to...
We went there, and so then we ended up, like, affiliating with these kids that had a little bit more privilege. And then, so I met this one girl, and she lived next to Alice Cooper's house. I wouldn't normally have had access to that kind of, like, zone if I hadn't known these kids.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. So, trumpet. How long you do it? Just a little while?
No, I did it all the way through high school until, like, you know, I kind of wanted to get in. I've always been, like, physical, and I enjoy, like, athletics or just, you know, I like to jog, you know, and you like to ride a bike and row and stuff, and same thing. And so I started to get involved in, like, sports. I didn't know anything about anything. And then those kids in the locker room were just, like, that wasn't cool, like, lugging a trumpet into the locker room. So I was feeling out of place with that. And then I wanted to play guitar. And so my parents, what I really wanted was to play guitar, you know?
You didn't want to play trumpet.
I like the trumpet, but I think there was like some, what was that, Dire Straits song? This ain't no fucking trumpet playing band or something like that. I was like, oh, they're talking shit about the trumpet. I was like, I don't.
You weren't hip to people like Diz or Miles?
No, I knew who Dizzy was and definitely a little bit like of Miles, but I didn't really like, I didn't have anything to gravitate to.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that was, like, sucked me in, my first, like, big revelation was, like, Sabbath. When I heard it, it blew my fucking mind.
And there's no trumpets.
No trumpets in there. There's not.
So you want to get on the guitar. So what, you're in high school?
Yeah.
And
15, I start playing, like, guitar.
What did you have? Like, acoustic, or did you have
electric? They gave me acoustic, because that's my folk style, you know? Like, I wanted to fucking play hockey, so they give me, like, figure skating classes, you know? I want to play fucking electric guitar, they give me the acoustic. You know, they're more traditional
more
like
folk.
That. Learn the basics.
Yeah,
learn the
chords.
Fundamentals, yeah.
Ah, was it one of those deals, like, if I get you this guitar, you got to take lessons?
Well, it was just like, you got to fucking... I had already smashed up, like, two trumpets. I would, like, take them and wrap one around a steel pole. I smashed the shit out of another one, and I was already just destroying shit.
So his trumpet, I think somebody sat on it.
Is that how it got bent up?
I see one of them at the Smithsonian.
Well, I took mine and smash it down and like, or the crush in the valves.
I don't think he did. I think some dude like.
It worked good for him. Those cheeks are still incredible. If you see pictures of that shit, it's just like, wow.
In the breathing, the circular.
Circular breathing.
Yeah, there's no stops.
I'm one of the first guys, right?
Keeps like the bellows going.
Yeah.
So, okay, you get this acoustic guitar. Are you trying to learn off records?
Yeah, you know, it was weird. Before, like, I had a teacher. He used to teach my trumpet teacher. There was a guy that taught guitar next to him. And so I started taking, he started just teaching me finger picking stuff.
Okay.
So it was like, he had me like one of the first records he gave me was like a John Fahey Christmas record.
Oh, okay.
So I was already going in that direction. And then, you know, then ages later, all of a sudden like Gastro del Sol was getting all hip on John Fahey. And I was oh, I know about this, but I didn't know it was like down.
That guy turned you on way ahead of time.
Yeah.
Here, let's play some Bluebird.
make me sway like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, holding me close, sway me more like a flower bending in the breeze. Bend with me, sway with me. When we dance, you have a way with me. Sway with me, stay with me. Other dancers may be on the floor. My eyes will see only you. Only you have the magic technique. When we sway, I go weak. I can hear the sound of violin long before it begins. Make me thrill as only you know how. Sway me smooth, sway me now.
Ja spoznavam jedna reka koja teče vonas kraj nas, što žubori, što grgori, vo korito i bez nego. Često su nas, no i bez nas, i po žega i po snegoj, nagraduvano i zema, ta reka zapir nema. Ja spoznavam jedna reka po druga od site reki, brzi vodi, krotki vodi, kade bran od bran gogoni, jaguška ptici leki, nežna ljubov da se rodi, koga teče mirno v spokoj, ni svetnula sonce v oko. Ja spoznavam jedna reka, ne sekogaš mirna krotka, ne sal zlaten dar što nosi, no što zema i što kosi, kaj što mine cvetot plače, prosolzuva denot mračen. Taka bilo od pamti veka, ta reka nas ne čeka. Pregazija, plivaj napred, stravot nema da te zapre.
Sally went down to Peru with a boy who played lonely music on kazoo through her window. Tony played the blue kazoo as they makes the world go round when you have it, but what if you find yourself down in Peru with a poor boy like Tony? Oh, what do you do? Tony played the blue kazoo in the back room while Sally entertained a few.
Pedro Show, we heard Bluebird doing Future Burn Then the Solvents with I'm Gonna Fight. Bat Fangs, brand new band out of North Carolina with Wolfbite. Vox Pop after that, speaking of Don Bowles.
Okay.
This is it. I think he's making a new album. That cat, Power Trip, what was his name? He was in Arizona for a while. Jeff Dahl. I think he's in Hawaii now.
Okay.
And, he sang this song, Cab Driver. I really liked it. And I'm going to see Don Bowles this Saturday.
He's going to be out of the show?
No, Friday. He's going to be at the Crescent Ballroom. They're opening up. It's called Exterminators.
Okay.
The band.
What's he playing?
Drums.
Okay.
Really early on. Before he went to Hollywood and joined the Germs. Then we had Panther Burns, Tafalco, Sway. That's a second single I did with him, Brother Larry on drums. After that, Stumble from Laughing Gas. I think that's like 15, 16 years old. Vasco Adanowski with Kumo Pero Melenkoski. That's out of Skopje, Macedonia. Flat Five with Blue Kazoo after that. Hell Beings with Between Love and Lay, and finally The Exterminators. There's John Bowles again.
Jimmy.
But sometimes I don't know. And that's got Chris Kirkwood on the bass.
Oh, yeah?
Because they lost Rob Ritter, of course.
Chris is playing on The Exterminators thing?
That's right, because Rob Ritter, he was doing roadie work for that band you saw Jimmy in, Celebrity Skin.
Okay.
And I think Gary lives in Berkey or something. The singer, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to your story, your journey through music. So you take acoustic guitar next to the trumpet teacher.
Yeah.
And, when does bass happen?
Bass didn't happen till I fucking, I was kind of...
Because that's what I know you.
Yeah, I was kind of a fuck-up in high school, and it didn't even dawn on me. I remember, like, it was, like, towards spring, and some kids said, like, where are you going to college? I was like, what the fuck is that? I didn't even, like, plan it out, you know? I was just wrapped up in fucking partying and, like, you know, music. It was music and music, girls, and just getting fucked up.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any studying, and I graduated. And so after that... I met this lady, she was like 27, I was 18, and she had a wild idea to go to London, and we went there for her and me to try to get some work doing some, like, she had been, like, involved in talent agency shit, and, like, model, like, acting, like, rep, and the lady lived across the street from me, the Blums. She was a real pretty lady. She was a model. And my mom was a photographer. So my mom was taking pictures of me and my little brother all the time. You know, would drive us insane. And she'd put them in, like, you know, whatever, an Arizona Highway, Sunset Magazine, this kind of stuff. So this lady says, hey, your son, you know, if he wanted to get involved in this shit, you know, he could get paid for it. I was like, well, maybe my mom suggested it. I was like, all right. So I tried that stuff. I didn't care for it so much. I got some, like, Pepsi commercial when I was, like...
But you went to London.
Then eventually this lady said, let's go to London. So we went there. It was more for her to kind of, like, reboot her career because she had been a model. That lasted, like, 2 weeks, and then I bailed, and I ended up living in these squats in, like, a Fulham court area. And shit got real, real fast for me, and... just being on the streets and not having any money, 18 years old, you know, coming from Phoenix, Arizona, it's pretty sheltered. And then I got over there. I just around a bunch of squat kids. A lot of them had heroin problems already. And a
lot of rain.
A lot of rain, a lot of cold. I went, you know, a few days without eating. We'd dumpster dive. I'd steal, like, beer from the pubs. I started hanging out with these Rasta, Nigerian Rasta guys, like, to get some hash and then try to sell it. And then I got busted a few times, once for, like, riding a bike super drunk. I came out of this corner on this cobblestone little road with a pint glass in my hand and a bunch of hash in me, and I ran a cop car off the road. They smashed into the deal, and they got pretty pissed off about that, took me in. It's a longer story than this, of course, but then that's when they first found the hash on me. Well, they actually didn't find it on me. I had kicked it underneath this bum that was, like, sleeping under the homeless dude that was sleeping. Sorry to call him a bum, but he was sleeping. And then they asked me, what is this? And I was like, I don't know. It must have fallen out of that guy's pocket. And then it It became a problem. They strip searched me. I was pretty nervous. You know, one guy volunteered to like look up my asshole. Like, I was like, what kind of person wants that job? So I got pretty scared about that. Eventually, shit kept going south for me, and I was trying to bail out of the city to try to get, like, it was right around when the wall was coming down, and I was going to try to get, I wanted to go to Cannes Film Fest. I heard that there's some laboring jobs over there doing some construction shit. And Cannes Film Festival, I had it in my mind. I had no idea even what it was, but I thought I wanted to get there. Trying to hitchhike, got picked up. I had warrants out for my arrest. I'd never dealt with it, but I had worked for this one pub where, like, these kind of English mafia guys worked there. And, like, they kind of helped me kind of, they helped with a lawyer that I met up with that fucked up with the whole, like, legal thing that I had the warrants, but they didn't know what the warrants were for. So they tossed me in jail. Then they tossed me in an immigration place. Illegal aliens. Then they tossed me in a prison cell, and I was in prison for 9 days. And the day before the ninth day, this man came in and offered it from Sussex. It was in Sussex. And he offered to teach a music class that day. And instead of going to the gym for an hour or go to the library for an hour and a half, like, who needs to go to the fucking library? You're sitting in a cell all day long. Anyways, they offered a music class. I go, fuck, I want to do that. So I went there. The guy said, who wants to play bass? I just snatched it out of his hand. I said, I do. I grabbed that thing, and then it was electric bass, and he told me, okay, I want you to put your finger here, put your finger. I said, like, well, I already know the frets, you know, just tell me the notes, you know. And he's like, oh, you're going to play this A, then play this D, play this G, play this C. And I played it, and the pattern that he had me going, it sounded like a reggae line. Well, those Rasta dudes had turned me on to, like, reggae and dub stuff. I had not known about it really much before. And so we started up a reggae line, and then there's a guy that played drums and a guy that knew how to play guitar. And I was, like, the only Caucasian dude in there. It was all, like, illegal aliens, mostly from, like, Africa, deserters from Islamic nations. And we got it going on, and then one guy was MCing. And, well, when I played that low E, and the first thing was, it felt like a sort of like a Rubik's Cube coming together in my mind. Just tick, 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 tick. And I heard, like, the narrator's voice inside my head that said very quietly, you've been playing the wrong instrument this whole time. And it resonated with me.
Yeah, you should be on bass.
Yeah, my soul, like, knew that I had found what I was looking for. And all of a sudden, all that shit I had gone through for those 9 months living in England just, like, came to a head. It was like that was the whole point of getting there.
Back U.S.?
I came back to the U.S. They fucking stuck me in New York. I was stuck. It fucked me up. And this kid named Todd Davis helped me out. He bought me a ticket back to Phoenix. And as soon as I got there, I called up the drum teacher's son, this guy named Paul Coffin, that had taken me and Brian to our first, like, concerts and stuff. And he remember one day he showed me this
Brother Brian
Brown. And he showed me this Black Gibson Ripper one day, years ago. And I remember
Ripper's a bass, people.
Yeah. And so I...
Yeah, big body.
Big body. So I called him up. I said, you still got that black bass? He's like, I do. Can I borrow it? I said, yes, you can. I took it home and just started playing the shit out. I didn't have an amp or anything, but just played the fuck out of it. First song I learned was Cure, Somebody's Jumping Someone Else's Train, because that's got kind of cool bass line.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of melodic.
Yeah. And so I just took off from there, and I was just obsessed.
Now, are you playing with your brother? Did you guys make a rhythm session?
Well, we had already done a drums and trumpet thing called Ice Age. Grade school talent show. Played, like, Star Wars theme song, Rise, Herb Alpert.
Okay. But what about the first bass and drum thing?
Yeah, then we started, like, doing that. Eventually, we started getting that going on. I was trying to make something with this kid that played guitar, and my friend Rob was singing, and that really didn't even really happen. It's like everybody's first band. It's just sort of
Yeah, of course.
And then, but then Brian and I started, like, playing. And, yeah, it was he was already... had a scholarship to NAU, Northern Arizona State Flagstaff area.
Yeah.
And so we started putting it together.
Oh, so you have to split up.
Yeah, because then...
The Flagstaff people is 100 miles north of Phoenix.
Yeah, and then I ended up... But then I was back out in Los Angeles. I moved... My parents were like, you can't just fucking hang out here and, like, take acid all the fucking time. You know, you got...
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour. Okay. November 22nd, 2016 edition Waffle Peter Show. Special guest Jim Brown. Hold tight for hour two. November 22nd, 2016. It's the second hour of the Waffle Peter Show.
Yeah. in the world of the now. Sometimes it snows and nobody knows where the water goes up on your toes as the
Oh,
For Pete Rose Show, start off the second hour with Kill the Lights, Bluebird, then Scandinavia Dilemma, Nervous Gender, Live at the Whiskey, 1983. Michael singing there. 5-year plan. You know, people ask me about the old days of the movement, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell them Nervous Gender, the Screamers, has no guitar. Televisual, 5-year plan. That's out of Sheffield, England. M.B. Jones with a brand new prod. Here's some demo for a solo album he's doing in Western Mass. Lawnmower Races. No Ice. After that with The Cemetery. And finally, The Extract out of Canada doing the alternative version of Creedence's Graveyard Train. Well, you hear that squeak, people? That's Jim Brown's coding. Back to the story. You're moving from Arizona to California because your parents want you...
they want me to get the fuck
get
out.
Get the heave-ho.
They're like, get a job or go to college, you know? Then, for some reason, my mother picked Pasadena City College.
She said, that's a good one.
It's a good community college. You should go
great
there.
Great radio station.
There you go, KPCC, yeah. So, yeah, I had spent that summer with one of my closest friends, John Wall, the Wall Brothers, Kerosene 454, Slow Dime, Jim and John.
I had them on the show. They were actually Orange County dudes.
No, you must not have. You're talking about John Wall from Clawhammer. I'm talking
Rick
about
Wall.
John Wall from Kerosene 454.
Oh, okay.
Remember when you did that Lady
Temple?
Yeah,
absolutely, okay. So they spell their names different.
Yeah, Wallwhal, or
right.
Something like that.
Right. There's three brothers, but I never knew they were OC dudes. They moved up way early.
There's three brothers?
I think there's three.
Oh, I only know John.
No, there's a big guy named Brick Wall. He's the writer, and he's the jazz head.
Oh.
And there's another brother, too, I think.
So that's where John got all that jazz.
But they had him on the show. I learned about his whole, like, OC thing, Fullerton or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because they're big.
But anyway,
okay.
Back to this Wall.
John Wall. Those guys were the ones. There's this kid named Craig Hall.
You meet him at the school.
Wayne High School, yeah. I knew a kid named Craig Hall. He was the first guy that turned me on to punk music. He asked me, hey, Jim, you know, he went to a different high school. But I met him. My parents, like, sent me, there was a summer camp for, like, the church that my dad went to. Presbyterian church, and they had a summer camp up in the woods in northern Arizona,
yeah.
In Greer, and I loved it up there, and it was like, so they would ship us up there, And the church part of it was, you know, I mean, spirituality is one thing, and then the dogma is another thing. So I don't know, it's fucking weird.
But you made a connect with this
kid. Kid Craig Hall, fucking cool.
And you learned about punk.
I learned about punk. Yeah. He turned me on. You know what punk is? And I was like, isn't it like a fucking snot-nosed kid? He's like, no, man. And so he turned me on to it. And
he had the tunes. He had the.
He had it. We listened. There's some German band called BGK, hardcore shit, you know, and. Loved it. We were already into Sabbath. His mom, before we started getting into super dove deep into punk, his mom insisted she take us to a Grateful Dead concert at Compton Terrace, which is like at Legend City. It was like this place. And so we went and saw in 81, we saw a Grateful Dead concert. I didn't know what the fuck to think. I thought the two drummer thing was pretty neat. But I just, first time I saw someone with tracks on their arms, you know, I was like, what's going on? You know, it's like, so I was being exposed to that counterculture.
Yeah.
But then John Wall and Jim Wall, those guys went to my high school.
But you see them in California when you move out there?
Well, they didn't move out here. We all went to, we all were in Arizona.
Sure, sure.
And so we had that scene going on there. That was like, we were, I guess people call us like second generation, you know?
Yeah, right, right.
And so second wave. And so, our scene was a little bit different than that, but we were still going to those shows. The first show I think I went to was like an agent. You know what I did? I walked in.
Oh, like Mad Gardens?
No, this was at some place called Knights of Pythias.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Minutemen played there.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Masonic spinoff.
Exactly.
Old guys, and
exactly.
They just ran out the hall.
Yeah. And so or this might even be a warehouse. I don't know. It's one of those things where you have to have your mom
drop.
No,
I remember Knights of Pythias playing there.
Yeah, so my mom would make her drop me off a block away, you know, like, please do not fucking pull up in front of, like, you know. And so we went there, and first thing I saw, I walk in, and the Sun City Girls are playing.
Oh.
Fucking homeboys playing a saw, and in big old beers, and I was just like, what the fuck is this shit? Yeah, the Charlie, the drummer. So Charlie was playing a saw. And I was so, the Bishop Brothers, and so I was just,
yeah.
It was really irritated by it because I wanted to hear the 1-3-4, 1-3-4,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And, but now looking back on it, I feel very privileged that that was my first introduction to a punk show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to understand this philosophy.
It wasn't just the kind of style, it was just.
Exactly.
More of a state.
Exactly. Yeah, so these Wall Brothers, they just constantly turned me on to shit, and they were super influenced by that DC sound. So they were turning me on left and
right. Like my threat.
Yeah, they love that shit. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like other stuff too, like later on in the, you know, mid 80s, we were getting like dialed into like this band Soulside. Love
that.
Love those guys. Soulside, Rites of Spring, that shit, you know.
Right, emo.
Yeah.
Maybe the first.
Yeah. Well, Brian says that the Who are the first emo band.
You know what? He might be onto something.
Yeah.
What we got here? Some Hoys.
just waking up is so much fun. With a hug and kiss for everyone. So many friends. Real and pretend. Looking at me too, laughing and crying, always on time. Isn't it great? There's two of us, someone who knows me, someone who trusts. You're always there, we're always new. Everything's better when it's with you. I can count you. Did you see us on the jungle gym? Like a monkey with a funny grin. Running around till we fall down. But we always get right up again. There's a million things to understand. So much to do when we are two.
day. I want to be colored like today. I want your recipe. Thank you.
poder cambiar.
Bought from Pedro Show. We heard Holoy's number 25. Open Kimono 2x2. After that, Donna Patriori con Gran Dolore. Yeah, the Big Pain. Maximilian the First. Everyone's Little Punk Rock Dreams by Babes New York. Inside the Silence, brand new from Light. Light Brothers out of Tokyo. Sax Snacken, Black Zulu. Exorcisi de Memoria, summer version, Manlio Mascara. No, Maresca, I'm sorry, Manlio. And the Manual for Errors. La Alegria, very be careful. That's
nice.
Colombia Vallena.
Those guys are great.
Yeah, you know about them, right?
Yeah.
The brothers.
They're great.
Yeah, Guzman brothers. A Negative Scare with Gone Wild, brand new for me. Getting into them out of Chicago. Nels Klein, brand new album, I Have Dreamed. And finally, Petra Hayden with the Decembers doing a live version of Wuthering Heights. Tell me about Bluebird.
Bluebird was like finally kind of got happening after Brian and I were trying to get something going on forever. We played with this guy, Dave Stern, that used to be in Swizz, another DC band. Then that thing kind of collapsed. I bailed out, went up to Washington, and then came back down. And Brian had already met Sam Veldy, the singer, and they were trying to put something together. I was passing through town, and then they said, "Hey, you want to like jam with us?" I was like, "Yeah, I'd be jammed to jam with anybody." So we just started. It was basically just me writing all the tunes on bass, and Brian playing drums.
You want to jam with us? Then you write all the tunes more than just jam, dude. You're the composer.
I mean, I was like always like I was like prolific. Yeah, I was just constantly busting out riffs, you know. And but I didn't have. Whatever, there's no format to it so much. And then we tried to search for a guitarist. It took us fucking forever. And then we met Barry. He was the roadie for Scream. And Scream busted up. They broke down.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah, they broke down here in L.A.
Yeah.
And they were stuck out here.
The brothers.
The brothers, Pete and Franz. And Skeeter. And
I think they live here now.
Yeah, I just saw Pete. That's where I was. I went to Mexico City to see Black Sabbath. Because I'm trying to write this short story about Black Sabbath, and I did some research on some Nopales farms down there, because I'm really interested
cactus.
In that. This shit's intense, man. That fucking huge farms of just cactus.
It's
beautiful.
Because people chow it.
Yeah, it's delicious. Yeah. But anyways, so Barry was, like, out here because Scream, like, broke down.
Broke up.
Dave jumped off and turned Nirvana.
Right.
Those guys were trying to start Wool. Tried out for them. They were down with Brian, and then I tried out, and then they weren't really down with my style. So Brian said it's like it's either both or neither. And
package.
So, yeah. So
twofer.
We ended up jamming with Barry, and the thing about Barry was that the dude had a real handle on texture and feedback. And so, like, for me, just ripping, like, bass lines, you just put this texture of feedback and then just some like, thick drums, then you're done, you know? And so, and to me, that was just kind of, like, already where
I was.
Who
named the band?
We tried to come up with a bunch of fucking names. We originally liked the name Blackbird, but we knew those brothers already had that name. And so then somebody said Bluebird.
Kidman Brothers.
There you go.
Which were the Dills.
Yeah, so then the singer, Sam, he said, Bluebird, how about Bluebird? My brother and I would get driven to school on Bluebird buses. So
we're
like, that sounds good enough. Whatever. Fuck it.
Because it was always struck me as a trippy name. As Bluebird seems a little...
Yeah.
And the band was pretty rocking.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, now you guys did many tours.
Yeah, a bunch of
tours. Many recordings.
Yeah, a bunch of recordings. Yeah. Yeah, and then we just did what, you know, most bands do. You, like, run your cycle, and then, like, that's it. And so I guess that's it. You never know.
No, because usually there's the reboot.
Well, you know what? Brian ran into some booker man, Ian Fintech, at an L7 show last night here in Echo Park. And as Brian and Danita are super close friends, and that guy said that people in the UK are asking to, like, want to get Bluebird reunion going. I don't know if I'm into that, but, like, at the same time, like, I don't know if I'm not into it either. So, you know, there's always, I guess there's lingering, and there's a possibility in the fucking multiverses of possibilities.
That's bitching. We're at the end of the second hour, November 22, 2016 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Special guest, Jim Brown. Hold tight for hour three. November 22nd, 2016. It's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show.
can hang it up, but you know you will drown like yesterday. Take a flower, throw it up any mountain you cannot say. You can push and you can pull, you know that it will never end. Roll that boulder up that hill, it will just roll back down again.
Pedro Show. We started the third hour off with Haloys doing Lakeland. Then SS Space System with Mankind Vicinity Part 3. That's out of upstate New York. Brother Sam up there. Dex Romweber, Flat Duo Jets.
Incredible. Okay.
But he's on his own now. Man, My Funny Valentine. God, who wrote that? Maybe Miles. I know Charlie Mingus did.
Mm.
18 Seconds with I Am Empty or U2, and finally Ned Collette with Boulder. Let's talk about Haloys.
Yeah.
Because the Bluebird ran the cycle.
Yeah, yeah, so I
like
just...
where's the name come from?
It was a dream. I had this dream. I was going out with this girl, Tori Quinones, and I told her about the dream. We woke up that morning, and I turned to her and said, hey, I had this dream, and I told her about it. And then the name of the band, I saw the band. I saw, like, everyone's face was blurred out, but I heard the sound. It was a five-piece. I saw what everyone looked like. I heard the sound. That was the main thing. And I remembered the name. It was like Holloys or Holloys. I couldn't really understand exactly, but you know how dreams are weird.
Yeah, sure.
And she's like, ah, that's my favorite band. Well, like, I was like, for whatever,
that's
romantic.
My favorite band.
She said that. That's what she said. That's my favorite band.
Okay.
And she just liked the story that I told of the dream, you know. I love that.
She never saw it.
No, of course not. She's so
she wasn't in your head.
She was just, you know, she's just
she's
a beautiful, beautiful person, like soaking me, you know. And so I kind of
stoking
like...
stoking a fire.
Yeah. So I think I just kind of like...
So you put this band together.
Yeah, I jumped off...
different than Bluebird.
No, yeah, all different. I like... everything was falling apart with the Bluebird scene and just wasn't feeling it anymore. So I bought a one-way ticket to Oaxaca, Mexico.
Sure.
And I just went down there. My friend Derek, you know, said, if you want to find yourself, you got to go someplace where you don't speak the language. My friend Shin Kitahara, who he moved here from Japan, didn't speak any English. He's like, that's how you find yourself. Go someplace nobody knows you, don't know the language. Everything that's not you will fall away. Everything that still is you will still retain itself. And so you find out the nature. Anyways, I was down there. Kind of, yeah. And after about 3 days down there, I was just like, I couldn't talk to anybody because I didn't know Spanish yet, and I still don't know very well. But nonetheless, I started wandering around town, and then I realized, like, fuck, I don't even know where I haven't even been paying attention to where I'm walking. I'm going to be lost, man. And this is long before GPS or cell phones and shit. And so, long enough. And so I stopped, and I had been thinking to myself, I should like to find, like, a music store and just play some bass just for a minute, just to kind of ground myself, to feel... And I had left my upright behind because I was trying to, like, learn it, you know. And I stopped at this one door.
What kind of big to bring
it up. Well, I was thinking of doing it, you know. I wanted to. I had a case built for it. And then I told the dude, like, I can't.
They're as big as you.
Well, you can take the neck off of this one.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Weird.
Okay.
Some Russian
URB
dude figured out a way. No, it's like, his like a hack job. He just fucking chopped it, bolted it, unbolted it. Anyways, yes. And, so, yeah, I found this door that had, like, a little painting of an upright piano and a bass coming out of it. I knocked on the door. An old man answered the door. We tried to talk to each other, and I explained it to him. He's like, oh, come on in. He took me to this back room. He showed me this bass. I'm like, oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And so I started playing it. It sounded amazing. The thing was probably old as hell, so it was super rich. And then he took off. He came back. He said, I'm going to go to lunch. Come back the next day. And I was like, oh, okay. So we came back the next day. And then he's like, you want some music? And I was like, no, I don't care. And he's like, you don't want to read any music? I'm like, well, okay, whatever. If you want, yeah, bring it. So he came back like 15 minutes later. His son had showed up at that point because he could speak a little English. And he said, hey, sorry, this is the only thing we could find. And the exact same book that I studied out of was the book that they handed me. So I was just like, here I am, I'm back on base again. And so I started like just hanging out with those guys. They let me play it in a wedding one time and shit, and it was pretty funny. And then John Theodore was a good friend of mine, a drummer, you know.
Sure.
He was playing a show in Mexico City with Mars Volta, and he emailed me, and, you know, I'd go to the internet cafe, and he's like, hey, I'm going to be there, blah, blah. I was like, hey, can you send this bass? Chris Novoselic bought me kind of a shit bass that was kind of like a second bass, because I was always breaking strings with Bluebird, and we were on the road with him one time with his other band, and then Sweet 75. And he said, you need a second bass, man. I'm like, well, I need the money to buy a second bass. And he bought me one, gave it to me one day. Then Barry routed it out and put in a big old, like, humbucker in it. And so I said, mail that bass down here to me and my loop pedal and a delay. And this little fucking amp that I had, just a little teeny shit amp. And so John stashed that shit in with the Mars Volta cargo package. He came down to Mexico City. I went up from Oaxaca to meet him, got my shit. You know, it's a big story than this, but then headed back to Oaxaca, and I had already been hanging out with this salsa band called Los Silhouettes, and those guys would just let me hang out with them. And the ideas that I was, like, working with the loop pedal were, like, fitting in with the understanding of the information I was being taught through the salsa band. Like, for instance, you have a melodic line, it's like, do-do-do-do-do. Well, I would, like, cut that up as I would go, do-do, and then I would just do-do, doo-doo-doo-doo. So that's the loop. It's going like that. Sure. And then doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And so it's like when you play it separately, the voicing is slightly different than if you play it all together. And then so when you start stacking stuff, and so
yeah.
The way that you could like come up with like choruses and verses would be basically just be like delineating part of a one melodic line. The way like DJs just drop shit
sure.
out. Okay, so I was these salsa cats were doing that. Like the horns would play part of one line, and then like the guitars would play the other line, and then they would all lock it
parting
in. Parting it out. And so this is where my idea for Holloway's came from.
Okay.
And I played my first like Holloway show down there, just solo gig, and so getting like a peso to get in or something like that. It was like, but then it dawned on me, it's like, so I had this big dream. I said, okay, I need to bail out of here because I was already starting to have to wash dishes. I had run out of money, you know,
yeah.
And I didn't speak the language good enough, so that's the only thing I could do for cash. And I was like, okay, I can go back to the States. I'm gonna like save up, get a computer. I'll be able to record my shit. I'll start my own like label. Friend Natalie Carlson from you might know Natalie. Yeah, so she helped me get a distribution thing going. So and then get a band, and my whole trip was like, well, if I'm gonna have to like eat shit playing music, which most people kind of do, it's hard to make any money. I'd like to do it someplace. If the band breaks down, I want it to be someplace interesting. So I decided to just kind of dedicate myself to trying to just tour in Europe. And so if the van breaks down, at least you're in like some fucking
exotic rock.
Yeah, it seems exotic anyways.
Okay, let's play some Bluebird. You gave me Sundown.
Okay.
Hesitate, tried to connect, but the money ran out. Please take me with you when you go. Fix me. Tried to connect, but the money ran out. Fix me. Please take me with you when you go. Fix me. 10 o'clock in the morning. Day's already gone. I turn on the TV. Fix me. The door is open, but there's nowhere to go. Fix me. Don't make me do it by myself. Fix me. Two o'clock in the afternoon. I feel like something to eat. Chef Boyardee, and it's already cooked. Please take me with you when you go. Fix me. Fix me. Fix me. astronomical. Like galaxies colliding and reforming. And the light has withdrawn to the side around the middle.
from a movie by Steve McQueen. Got on the films, I'm not very keen, but that's not what I mean. I might be small, but I still do know quite exactly what I've seen. It's true that I said as you had a head like a sort of Mrs. Bean. I'm sure I've seen the face before somewhere on a massive TV screen. But now you say she came all the way from Aberdeen. Aberdeen. I mean, the small one smelled just like a teen. He held until
changing rooms.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Sundown from Bluebird, one of the first tunes you guys wrote, you told me.
Yeah.
So that's trippy. We're ending with the beginning. Then Dagger Moth, Event Horizon, Mitigating Chaos from David Gerard, Dagger Moth out of Bologna, Italy, David Gerard, Massachusetts. King Champion Sounds, What I Mean, out of Holland. King Alfred, Man of Leisure, True Colors from England, and Elliot Eidelman, The Hobo Life, out of Atlanta, Georgia. Advice, if somebody, because you've had quite a journey through music, if somebody young was getting in this racket, what would you tell them?
Maybe think about getting a science degree first. I don't know. I mean, somebody would have told me this is how many times you're gonna have to carry around an SVT cabinet, and this is how many times you're gonna. I maybe would have reconsidered it, but at the same time, I probably would have said fuck it, I'll just do it anyways. Advice, do it if you want to do it, but don't stack up any hopes that that's going to be the way you're going to pay your rent.
Yeah, that's good. I think that's good advice. What about plans?
Fuck, I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure that shit out right now.
What plans you got right now?
Yeah, music-wise, I love to play, but it's hard to pay the... I don't pay the rent on it. Brian does. He does composing for film and TV. He scored all that shit for the Dave Grohl Sonic Highways thing. He was the main background guy. So Brian always tries to get me in on that. But I'm just I don't know. I don't have a hell of a lot of production skills. I don't know, man. I did these bass feedback things that were cool. I love chopping up pianos with axes. If I could just tour around the world doing that, it'd be great. I love playing music. I did a bunch of acoustic songs not so long ago. I kind of wanted to approach Drag City and see if they would be interested in checking them out. And,
so go back to the acoustic guitar.
Maybe, yeah. Paho listened to these songs. I sent him a song when
he's living in SoCal now.
Yeah, when he was going through a little bit of so I sent him a song that talks about that, you just gotta, cause I had my close friend like took himself out that way. And so I have a relationship with those kinds of like depression moments. And so I understand, you know, it's a hard thing for a person to like weather, but it's good to just get through it cause, you're gonna, you know, everybody's got a number, you know, your number's coming.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So fuck it, just write it out, you know.
And some music helps.
Yeah, that's the thing. It takes you out, Mike. I mean, like, thank you for saying that. Thank you for bringing that home and punctuating.
Well, I want to thank you, Mr. Jim Brown, for being on the show, coming down to Pedro.
Thank you, Mike. It's an honor.
When you get these new tunes, we'll have you on a board again.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
We may get you do them live.
Okay.
Okay. It's been the November 22nd, 2016 edition of Walk for Pedro Show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.